Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice anything new or different in this morning's reading of the story of the Good Samaritan? Not the apples and oranges, but the story of the Good Samaritan. One of the things I noticed is that the Samaritan is never referred to as good in the reading. So I would suggest, instead of referring to the Samaritan as being good, which implies that the Samaritan is a good Samaritan or good at being a Samaritan, right? I mean, a good Samaritan would be somebody who does being a Samaritan well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anywho, so, because that's so confusing, or I made it so, I say we describe this parable as the good neighbor. And I think by doing so, it helps us to focus upon what this story is really about. It's about who is our neighbor and who was a neighbor to this man who was robbed, beaten, and left half dead along the side of the road. So our reading begins with a question from a man who is considered to be an expert in the law, sometimes referred to as a scribe or a lawyer, and he asks Jesus a question that he already knows the answer to in an effort to test Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus, being Jesus, responds to his question with a question of his own, which allows the man to demonstrate his knowledge of the law. What is written in the law, he asks. What do you read there? Well, the man responds by quoting the Shema from Deuteronomy 6:5, and he also quotes from Leviticus 19:18. And together, those two quotes make up what we refer to as the two great commandments. To which Jesus responded, "Do this and you will live," as if it were that simple. So all you got to do to inherit eternal life is love the Lord your God with all that you are and all that you have, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do this and you will live. While being an expert in the law, the man couldn't just accept Jesus' response, so he asks another question. Who is my neighbor? That question is the question that this parable is told to answer. The parable of the good neighbor is not told to answer the question about what we must do to inherit eternal life, because the expert in the law has already answered that question. Love the Lord your God with all that you are and all that you have, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do that and you will live. Jesus tells the parable of the good neighbor to answer the question, who is my neighbor? This may seem like a simple distinction, but I think it's easy for us to conflate these two questions and forget which one is being answered through this story. Now, parables are stories told by Jesus with a purpose. This story didn't actually happen. There wasn't a Samaritan who was walking down the road from Jerusalem. There may have been, but this actually didn't occur. Jesus is telling a story to illustrate a point, to answer the question, who is my neighbor? And in telling the story, Jesus might actually exaggerate some points to help reinforce the point he is making. So, it's interesting to note that this man is traveling on the road from Jerusalem as Jesus and the disciples are traveling toward Jerusalem in the travel narrative of Luke, which we're reading from. And so they would have known the terrain. They would have known that traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, that road was steep. It descended rather quickly. And they would have known that it was a dangerous road, not just because it was steep, but because robbers and people of ill dispute like to hang out on it and take advantage of people as they traveled on it. So it was best not to travel this road alone. But everyone in our story is traveling alone. Jesus' hearers would have known that was not a good idea, but the people in the story don't seem to understand that. So the man falls into the hands of robbers, whom whom we've all been warned about. They're going to be on that road. We've heard it. We've been warned. Maybe he was warned. Maybe he didn't care. And he was stripped, beaten, robbed, and left for dead. That's all we know about the man. That's his role in the story, to be the one left on the side of the road for dead. Now, we assume that he was Jewish. And we assume that because of Jesus' audience and because the other of who the other characters in the story are. We aren't told that, but we assume that. And the first two men who come upon him are a priest and a Levite who were Jews, but they were actually not only Jews, but they were leaders in the church. These men would have known the law. They would have not only been known how to interpret the law, they were also responsible for its application. These men were paid to be good. And when each of these men see the man, they cross to the other side and pass by. That's all we're told. We aren't told why. We aren't told anything else. We aren't told that they were in a hurry. We aren't told that they thought the guy was dead and they didn't want to become ritually unclean. We aren't told anything else in the story. Much has been written to try and excuse their behavior. The point of the matter is, the point in this story is, there is no excuse for them crossing to the other side of the road. They were the ones who we would have assumed would have stopped to help this man, and they didn't. They're the ones who had every reason to stop and help this man, and they didn't. And then a Samaritan, and the people listening to Jesus would have went, The expert in the law would have immediately began to judge the man whom Jesus referred to as a Samaritan. Ick. Samaritans and Jews did not get along. We've talked about this. They had a 900-year rift between the two when the northern kingdom seceded from the southern kingdom because the northern kingdom didn't want to help and build and pay for the temple and the palace anymore. The kingdom became divided. The northern kingdom was conquered by the Assyrians. They began to intermarry, and so the folks from the north were no longer considered ethnically pure. They didn't worship in the right place. They were married to the wrong people. They were other. 900 years, Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. And if you were a Jew lying in the road, the last person you would expect to come and help you was a Samaritan. And if you were lying in the road, the last person you would want to have help you was a Samaritan. And that sets the stage. The first thing the Samaritan did was to see the man. The priest and the Levite saw him and crossed to the other side, but when the Samaritan saw the man, he was moved with pity. He saw this man's need, and he went toward him instead of away. The Samaritan helped this man. He showed him mercy. Not because he was Jewish, not because he was a man, not because he recognized him, simply because this man was in need. And that made this man the Samaritan's neighbor. And when the Samaritan helped the man, he became his neighbor as well. The Samaritan saw this man in need. How often do we walk by? How often do we turn our heads and pretend not to see, not to notice? I told this story during text talk this week, and I already told it this morning, so it seems fair that you guys would hear me tell it now. True confessions. About a month ago, Robin and I were in Santa Cruz visiting and staying with a friend. And on the Saturday morning of that weekend, Robin had gone off for a walk and I decided to go to the bakery. Walk, bakery. We each have our loves. Anyway, I wanted to pick up some pastries, or actually, I wanted to pick up a lot of pastries. I ended up buying pastries for that day, for the next day. I bought some to bring home to my mom. I brought some to leave with our friend. On my way to the bakery, I noticed a person who was lying on the curb, basically at the on-ramp for the freeway. Now, this was not the only person I had seen that weekend lying on the sidewalk or in around outside in Santa Cruz, unfortunately. But there was something about this person. It was partially where they were lying near the on-ramp to the freeway, the way they were lying, that I questioned whether they were breathing. I wondered if they were okay. But I didn't stop. I drove by and I got on the freeway. I didn't check on the person. I didn't call the police to have them check on the person. No, I headed to the bakery with pastries on my mind. Thankfully, when I returned a short time later, the person was no longer lying there. So I assumed that they were either just sleeping and woke up and moved themselves, or that a good neighbor happened by after me and gave them the help that they needed. What kind of neighbor was I? At the end of the story, Jesus asked the expert in the law a similar question. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The robbers. The man correctly responded, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus replied, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Go and love your neighbor. You see, loving your neighbor is about showing mercy to your neighbor. It's not about trying to narrowly define who your neighbor might be and being able to discount the people who are apples or oranges or don't look like us or vote differently than us or any of those other things. It's about seeing the people around us like the Samaritan saw this man on the side of the road, and not crossing to the other side, but showing mercy. In some instances, mercy may be calling somebody who can help. Mercy may be stopping and getting out of the car and waiting a little while longer for that Schnecken from Gales. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is anyone in need, anyone who you can show mercy to. That's the answer to the question. That's what it means to be a good neighbor. So let us go and do likewise. Amen.